Now, have you ever been in a position where your neighbour is making a lot of noise and it's a bit disturbing? Well, you're not alone. Local councils across the country receive 66 nuisance complaints every hour. That's nearly 600,000 in the course of a year. Now, according to recent analysis, the most common complaint, making up nearly half of the calls, was about noise pollution. What can you do? What does the law say? Well, I'm joined now by John Allison. He's a community and commercial mediator. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Now, it sounds like you've got a busy time at the moment, haven't you?
Yes, community mediators are certainly very busy. I think the data you just mentioned about nuisance complaints featuring noise and in particular are very interesting, and they're published by Churchill Home Insurance, but they're based on statutory nuisance complaints. Statutory nuisance is just one kind of nuisance. It's noise, rubbish, vehicles, air quality, and building maintenance, and these are the issues that the data covers. Statutory nuisance is where the person who's committing, the perpetrator, if you like, of the problem, is actually in breach of a statute. The statute might be the Environmental Protection Act, the Clean Air Act, and so on. And local authorities are the enforcing body for these various environmental statutes, and they're required to investigate statutory nuisance complaints and issue abatement notices if the perpetrator is found to be in breach. So that's what this data is all about. But really, it's the tip of an iceberg. So 66 complaints per hour for nuisance of one sort or another is just referring to statutory nuisance. And adjacent to all of that, there is private nuisance, which is another branch of the law. You can sue somebody for nuisance to you personally. And there's public nuisance, where large groups of individuals are affected, and that is actually a crime. So we're just touching the tip of the iceberg here with this data about 66 complaints an hour. But in the real world, neighbours and communities have conflicts of all kinds. And we find in the world of community mediation that noise is just one of the issues that's revealed in any dispute between neighbours. When it does arise, you know, we find it arises in a similar proportion to this data. In about 50 to 60% of the cases, there's a noise element. So it's definitely a significant problem. But community mediation covers a much wider range of problems and disputes than that.
Because the temptation is to go out and confront somebody directly. That would be possibly the logical thing. But if you're living with sight loss, that can be quite intimidating. And that isn't always the right way to go, is it?
No, it isn't. The best thing is, if there's a route to do so, is to talk to your neighbour. And if you're not able to do that, and sight loss or impairment might be a reason, then to get help from somebody who can help you to have that conversation, a friend, a supporter of some kind, that's probably the best thing, if you can manage it and if you can face it. But if conflicts might have reached a point where you don't feel able to do that, or you feel the reaction is not going to be one you'd like, and you're basically scared about doing that, then mediation is definitely, I think, the first port of call for you. Because looking at these statutory nuisance complaints and the enforcement action that's taken in response to them, we find that with 250,000 statutory nuisance complaints about noise, only 8,000 end up with abatement notices. So the enforcement route that councils are obliged to take has only a 4% success rate. Whereas with community mediation, we find that provided we get people to take part in mediations, our success rate is about 80 to 90% of the cases.
Okay, so let's say that I'm the person here and I'm having trouble with, let's say noise seems to be the most common one with a neighbour. We're in the summer as well, windows are open, there's even more noise. Where do I start when I'm looking for mediation?
The community mediation services are normally charities. And they are supported by local authorities, but to varying degrees around the country. There was much more support for community mediation in the late 80s and 90s than there has been in the last 10 years with cutbacks in local authority funding, etc. But your local council may well support a community mediation service. If you're a tenant with a social landlord, registered social landlord, such as a housing association, they also tend to support community mediation services. Another potential source is social services that can make a referral for community mediation. So the thing to do is to inquire with those agencies whether they can refer your problem to a community mediator. Failing that, the thing to do is to, perhaps with help, do an internet search to see if there's a local community mediation service in your area and approach them directly. But the important thing is that the community mediators that are deployed by these services are independent organizations, independent people, actually. So as a party engaged in dispute, they're not going to be reporting back to the local authority or to anybody else about what's going on during the mediation. The only thing that becomes knowledge is the end result, if and when the two parties reach an agreement, you know, usually a signed and witnessed one. Then if they choose to show a copy to their landlord or whatever, then that's up to them. But the whole procedure that leads up to that point is entirely confidential.
But then I suppose somebody could sign up to something, your neighbour or whoever it is. What makes it that they have to comply with that, even though they've signed it? They might decide not to.
Well, they might. But let's consider the alternatives to not reaching an agreement. The alternative for the complainant is they still have the issue that's affecting them. The alternative for the perpetrator, if there is one, is that they're going to get increasingly bothered by call-outs from the police or from the noise team from the council or whoever it might be. And if they carry on, then they're at risk of potentially, in some cases, losing their home through eviction. So there's interest in both sides in reaching an agreement. And the mediator's role is to demonstrate to both sides that there's common ground here and that a sensible agreement can be reached. If you consider, for example, noise, where the council would measure the noise in decibels and decide whether it exceeds a certain threshold under statute. But mediators might come in as a pair of mediators, place one in each home of the adjoining buildings, adjoining dwellings, one with the party that's at the source of the noise, regulating the controls, say, on the stereo, and the co-mediator in the receptor building with the other party, listening to the effect next door. And by adjusting the settings and communicating on telephone, mobile phone, they can arrive at a setting in one dwelling where the party on the other side can say with the mediator present, I think I could go to sleep at that level of noise after 10 o'clock. And similarly for daytime noise. In other words, one can calibrate a music system through the help of two mediators who are independent. Now, that's much more effective than having an output in decibels, which nobody understands anyway, except a noise expert, and attempting to issue noise abatement notices or confiscate stereos and things like that. That ends up with a winner, a loser. The loser's bitter and twisted. The winner may feel satisfied and may not. But one thing's for sure, the relationship between the neighbours has been irreparably impaired. Mediation seeks to achieve pragmatic, effective solutions that are in writing. Both parties have signed up to them. The mediators will also very often offer to monitor the effectiveness of the agreement for 3 months. And so we find that in 80 to 90% of the cases, it works. The agreement upholds, is implemented effectively, and life's better for everybody. And the process in achieving all of that is usually much, much quicker than any other route. Typically, a week to a fortnight might see the end of a dispute and the reaching of a written agreement like that.
You tend to think of people being quite belligerent, looking in as an outsider and saying, well, this is my right, this is my home. Are you quite successful, really, in raising awareness? Do some people just not realise that they are causing a nuisance?
Well, very often that's the case, especially when it comes to something like noise, because it's highly subjective, isn't it? And that's the problem with measuring noise in decibels. It doesn't mean anything to one. But when it comes to music, apart from the noise level, it might be a kind of music that you particularly object to or don't like. It might be a thumping bass, or it might just be a style of music you hate. So there's that aspect, the type of sound. And there's also noise levels are actually also very subjective. So what's loud to one person wouldn't bother somebody else. And that's why the sort of approach that I just described, where you try and get together to objectively calibrate a bit of audio equipment, if that's what you're looking at, is really much more effective and much more appropriate because it's tuned to the individuals who are having the problem.
Well, John, it sounds like quite a complicated process, but a lot of people obviously are perhaps desperate and looking for some support. Where would be the first port of call then if somebody listening just now is having an issue?
So the first port of call for somebody who has a problem with their neighbours, apart from resolving it themselves, is to contact their local authority to inquire about a community mediation service in their area that's supported by the authority, or their landlord. Perhaps social services, some of those will refer to a community mediation service. Failing that, perhaps with help from somebody, Google community mediation service in your area, tack on, you know, your town or whatever, and approach them directly. And failing all of that, very pleased at London Community Mediation Council to receive inquiries if those routes don't work. So it would be inquiries at lcmc.org.uk. We would try and direct people to the best place if they've been unable to get there themselves.
It's nice to know that there is some support out there. John Allison, Community and Commercial Mediator, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.